Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Apple products that I spend way too much money on are not cooperating today. But you know what? That's life, Darren. You got to roll with the punches a little bit.
Well, that is what Apple does best, right? I mean, it locks you into their system and then charges a lot of money, and they're great products, but when they're not connecting, you hate your life so much.
You're right. I mean, it is a first world problem, right? I'm like, my wireless AirPods aren't connecting the right way. Ugh, everything sucks.
No, but it's just when you're about to record. I get it. You're not being you're not being terrible. But how was your week?
It's been great. How about yours? I'm excited because we have our NMR episodes in full force now on both Patreon and our main feed.
Well, I was going to say, first off, welcome to Shaken and Disturbed. I forgot to say
that.
That's
a good.
I'm Darren Karp, and you're John Thrasher, and we're in the middle of. I'm in the middle of a potential downpour just from what Ida is bringing. But I was going to say, given the fact that you said that our NMRs are in full force, have you gotten any feedback on the great coffee debate of 2021?
Not since we've posted that episode, but, you know, people have been continually, like, discovering the original episode that we talked about that on.
Yes.
And I still get DMs about it. It's like, it's so funny how such a passing little moment, you know, can really resonate through our audience for, like, years to come. I feel like we're going to get DMs like this for the rest of our lives about Starbucks versus Dunkin'.
I think we are. And if you did listen to that NMR, you know that when we record this week's NMR, I'm going to be talking about the dinner that I potentially may or may not allegedly, supposedly survived.
That's
but,
right.
But we don't know. This could be a pre-recording. We don't know.
Is Darren recording this from the afterlife? Find out on this week's NMR.
That's the type of stuff John and I bring you on Shaken and Disturbed.
That's right.
That kind of
paranormal
content. But let's get into this week's case, John, right away. But I want to know what you were drinking today. Is it coffee? Yeah. Is it BSB? What is it?
It's literally both, Darren. I'm finishing my coffee whiskey that was sent to us a couple of months ago.
There we go.
Because, you know, it's accessible. It's easy. I'm not going too crazy. You know, we record these during the day, not the evening. So it's a great little drink for me. What about you?
I am drinking. So I went to my cousin's wedding this last weekend, which we'll catch up on an NMR. But I went to my, and I was trying to like, what's the good refreshing drink? Because it was so hot. So it's kind of going back to my old mainstay with a little twist on it. I'm going with a Greyhound today. So I'm having some grapefruit juice and vodka.
I remember we had that on Martinis and Murder like years ago.
Yeah.
And I expected not to like it because I'm not a big grapefruit juice person. Like, I love grapefruit. I love the flavor of it, but it's, like, way too acidic for my stomach.
Yeah.
And I ended up really liking that drink, surprisingly.
Yeah, I would drink a glass of grapefruit juice, but I don't. Like, orange juice, no problem and stuff. But I find that with, like, a little bit of vodka. Oh, I was also, I forgot this, which I did today too. I completely forgot. It's vodka, grapefruit, and some seltzer. So it's kind of like a vodka soda with a splash of grapefruit.
Splash of grapefruit. Yeah,
but I put a little bit more than just a splash.
Oh my God, I love that.
I was kind of mixing between that and the same drink, but with pineapple juice this last weekend. So, well, nothing sweeter than pineapple, baby. Let me just say that. And hello, that was almost the key ingredient, for lack of a better term here, to the JonBenet Ramsey case.
Well, that's right. Maybe that's my specific obsession with pineapple. You never know.
Well, I have a specific obsession with you, but I think we should get into this week's case. What do you think?
I like that, but one quick thing before we start, because you just reminded me because you said you forgot and wanted to say something.
Yeah.
For the last 2 weeks, I've been wanting to give a shout out to somebody who is a big fan of our show, and I keep forgetting. His name is Ian.
Hi, Ian.
If you're listening, happy birthday. His birthday was a couple weeks ago.
Darren, happy birthday, Ian.
He's amazing. He's the guy that you might have seen in our Instagram stories, guys, recently, where he got a new puppy and he was initiating the puppy with a new episode of Shaken and Disturbed.
Right. And that was the most adorable photo. And I believe I liked it. And I saw it and I said, you, sir, are a king. That's what I said about Ian in my head. And now I'm saying it to you again. So happy belated birthday.
And happy marriage. He got married like 2 weeks before that. So it's like, what a great month
puppy,
in his life.
A new marriage. You're living it. You're living it, Ian. We hope we can continue to bring you good content for this next chapter in your
life. That's right. Okay, one last thing, actually, before we start this week's episode. I have to talk about how much I love wickedclothes.com. Darren, you talked about your Demon Cat from Hell shirt last week. I am so obsessed with this merch. Their merch is basically everything paranormal. There's Bigfoot, Mothman, ghost hunting, true crime stuff is on there. They have a shirt that says True Crime Club, which is so cute. There's another one that says Serial Killer Documentaries and Chilled. You have to make sure you get that one. If not for you, then definitely think about these shirts and this merch as gifts as we approach the holiday season. We really, really love this company. And the shirt that I got is so funny. It's like a cartoon. And it's like a mother holding her baby, asking it what it wants to be when it grows up. And it's responding with cremated. And I'm like, this is very much my sense of humor. I feel like it's our listener's sense of humor as well in a lot of ways. So yeah, do yourself a favor. Take a minute and browse their site. That's wickedclothes.com. And if you use coupon code SHAKEN, you can get 10% off your order. So if you want to save some time, you can actually get that coupon automatically applied to your cart by going to the link wickedclothes.com/shaken, or you can click it right in our show notes. Absolutely love them. I'm going to buy a ton of these shirts for my friends and family for the holidays. Okay, now that we have that out of the way, let's start today's show.
Let's get into it. June Lin was a 33-year-old Chinese student who was going to school in Montreal, Canada. June arrived in July of 2011 to enroll in Concordia University's undergrad engineering and computer science program. So that's what we call in my lingo in the media world. We call that a smarty pants. John, would you agree with that?
That's the official term, yeah.
I think that's the scientific term for someone who studies engineering and computer science.
Got it. A smarty pants.
That's what I've heard. I don't know.
Thank
Look
you
it up
for sharing
it. You're welcome.
That. See, this is the type of content we bring on the show. You can't get this anywhere else.
You really can't. You really can't. And in May of 2012, June moved into a new apartment in Griffintown, Montreal, with a new roommate. Have you ever been to Montreal, by the way?
Montreal, no. I love, let me just say this, though. That's Canada, right? Yes.
Yes,
for a second,
sweetie.
I thought I was... No, look, one second. I was looking at the dock that we're sharing here to talk about today's episode, and I thought it said Montana. And I'm like, wait, what? Montreal? No, Montreal is in Canada.
Oh, God.
And I have
Montana, same landscape.
Hold on,
same everything.
Let me just say something before we get any further. I love geography. I will I am picking geography every time I play Trivial Pursuit. I know what's up. I just misread Montreal. Mm-hmm. I thought it might have said Montana. Okay.
Just take a sip of your drink, sweetie. And
I know.
Just
let me take a sip. But I want to say shout out to Canadian people, because I have not met a Canadian. I haven't met a Canadian that I don't like. So there
yes,
you go.
Yes, that would be correct. All Canadians I meet are just awful. Just kidding.
Oh, is that right?
Some even join our lovely Patreon hangouts. So I'm not going to front, because we had a long conversation
with one
of our fans about vaccines and this and that. And I leave it there.
Did you
say
you're not going to front?
Yeah, let's not front.
Oh, my God. There's a whole thing about this I need to talk to you about after the show.
Did I say something? Oh, can we talk about it on MMR?
Yeah, we shouldn't. Well, I'll say it now, because we shouldn't like say that and then go off air and talk. Sherry O'Terry has done from SNL, who Darren, you're friends with. We should be honest with the listeners.
Yeah.
Sherry O'Terry from SNL did a sketch with Britney Spears where Britney Spears says that she won't front. And the way she said it has just always been in the back of my head since high school. And the way you just said it sounded like her.
Oh.
And
oh.
Sherry O'Terry will know that sketch if you bring it up and say that. So I just wanted to share that with you.
I love that you love her just like I do.
I do. I do. Anyway, back to this show. You just threw me for a second. Here we go.
Okay, so just to recap after the Sherry O'Terry rant, right. I just want everyone to know that in May of 2012, June had moved into this new apartment in Griffintown, yes. Montreal, with a new roommate. Okay, that's where we're at.
Okay,
and it. Although he was described as being a nice guy and a gentleman, his neighbors would occasionally notice that he played music too loudly in his apartment. They also noticed when he stopped with the loud music towards the end of May. Lynn was last seen by his friends on May 24th, 2012. Yeah, that's my birthday.
So
that's
what were you doing? Do you remember? Did you have a computer birthday party in 2012?
I probably did. And because this guy was a computer science guy, I'm clearly linked to the case.
That's right. That's right.
As my, wait, how old would I have been? 24? So yeah, my 24-year-old self is having a computer party.
Isn't it weird that that's 9 years ago, by the way? Think about that.
I was still with Andy back then. Well into my Andy years.
2012 was such a big year for me. It was like one of my best years ever. And like, I can't believe it's been 9 years since 2012. Yep. Anyway, we're getting old.
Well, Eric Clinton Kirk Newman, that is a name. That is a name. Eric Clinton Kirk Newman was born on July 24th, 1982, to Anna Yorkin and Donald Newman. Eric's parents divorced when he and his two siblings were still young, and he was sent to live with his grandmother, Phyllis. However, Eric's grandmother and grandfather also divorced, and it was decided that he would be homeschooled for a few years. Eric was able to attend some high school between 1998 and 2000, during which time he was most noticed for his preoccupation with his looks and overall vanity, which, to be fair, in high school,
aren't we all?
Social media, hello. I know some fucking 30-year-olds that are like this. I know 40-year-olds that are like this. Anyway.
Well, wait a minute. Listen, you're very connected to the Real Housewives. So you know some older, you know, people.
I wasn't even thinking reality stars. I was thinking like friends of mine. People. But anyway. Anyway. Well, around 2002-2003, Eric began stripping at a Toronto nightclub called Remington's. And by 2003, Eric had featured in his first two adult films, both of which involved him playing a straight man who, quote unquote, turned gay.
Oh, okay. So now this is where my expertise comes in. This is
adult films. This is all like not based on anything real.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? Like it's not even that offensive when they do it this way, because you know that it's like, oh, I'm just going to walk into the ski lodge. Oop, my top fell off. And happens to be so many people here who are also declothed. Like, that's just like, it's just not real. It's just not real.
No, it's
not that I have any experience with this.
Yeah, let's be clear there.
It's things I've read online and in magazines.
That's right. Well, listen, I'm happy that we're talking about this, because I do feel like I can contribute to straight men turning gay. No, I'm just kidding. But it is a fun topic, if nothing else. This podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp. Is there something interfering with your happiness, or is preventing you from achieving your goals? I know we've all been extremely stressed over the last couple of years, more than ever, and it's easy to get lost in all of that. BetterHelp will assess your needs and match you with your own licensed professional therapist, and you can start communicating in under 48 hours. It's not a crisis line, it's not self-help, it's professional therapy done securely online. And there's a broad range of expertise available, which may not be locally available in many areas, and this service is available for clients worldwide. You can log into your account anytime and send a message to your therapist. You'll get timely and thoughtful responses, plus you can schedule weekly video or phone sessions, so you won't ever have to sit in an uncomfortable waiting room with traditional therapy. BetterHelp is committed to facilitating great therapeutic matches, so they make it easy and free to change therapists if needed. That is one thing I've really loved about BetterHelp. I've used it myself. It's just really great. If you don't click with somebody, which happens whenever you are looking for a therapist, you can click out, find a new one, and on you go. It's really great. It's more affordable than traditional offline therapy, and financial aid is available. BetterHelp wants you to start living a happier life today. So visit their website and read their testimonials that are posted daily. You can visit betterhelp.com/shaken, that's better, H-E-L-P, and join the over 2 million people who have taken charge of their mental health with the help of an experienced professional. In fact, so many people have been using BetterHelp that they are recruiting additional therapists in all 50 states. And we have a special offer for Shaken and Disturbed listeners. Get 10% off your first month at betterhelp.com/shaken. By the way, isn't it interesting? We went straight from high school to stripping, and then he's doing adult films. You know, this all happened kind of fast. So where is that going to lead us? God only knows.
Yes, that's true. That's true.
Well, in 2004, he appeared in at least two more adult films under the name Jimmy. So shout out to anyone named Jimmy listening to today's show. Congratulations, you're an adult film star. In 2004, Eric befriended a 21-year-old woman who suffered with developmental disabilities. Her condition left her with the reasoning of an 8 to 12-year-old child. So very heartbreaking.
Yes.
Eric convinced his new friend to apply for credit cards and use them to accumulate $10,000 in debt under her name. Now, this is so stressful and heartbreaking because
it's abuse.
It's abuse, and it's obviously illegal, by the way, because, you know, I've been hearing a lot about, you know, Darren, you know when we get those spam phone calls all the time? At least I do. I think you and I talked about this once, where it's like, you know, spam risk. Someone's calling you. They want to talk to you about your car's extended warranty, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Well, specifically elderly people, not necessarily, you know, disabled people, but elderly people who wouldn't know the difference are being targeted and, you know, being told by these people who are scamming them that, like, you know, oh, if you don't pay $10,000 right now via Western Union.
I mean, my grandfather was like almost scammed out of like $25,000 like years ago. They called saying like, my cousin, you know, was hurt and they needed to wire him money. And, you know, like, my grandfather's a savvy guy, but he was old at the time. He obviously passed away.
Same.
You know, but yeah, I mean, it's horrible that he's doing this. Eric, this is not a good thing.
Yeah. And we're talking about the Eric guy, by the way, just for clarity's sake, not June, we talked about earlier. So two different people happening here. But this Eric guy, and by the way, sorry to hear that about your grandfather. I'm glad nothing really came out of that.
We caught it kind of before anything could happen. So,
but that's a great example. That's exactly what I'm talking about. People taking advantage of people who are otherwise unavailable to make their own decisions like that. Anyway, this Eric guy also videotaped himself sexually assaulting the woman.
My God.
Who's, by the way, developmentally disabled. I mean, this is disgusting. Yeah. Although Canadian law enforcement was able to charge Eric with fraud, they dropped the assault charge before trial. We need to learn some more details about that. In 2005, Eric pled guilty to four additional fraud charges. Before sentencing, his attorney presented a medical report to the court showing that Eric had, quote, significant psychiatric issues, end
quote. Well, that would track, just considering this behavior. I mean, this is... it's no excuse for anything, but it would track in terms of, like, this is not a sane person.
And listen, like, you know, fraud and money things are one thing, but to film sexual assault, that is another level.
Or sexual assault, period, let alone filming it.
Alone, but then filming it. Like, that is so, like, another level, you know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely.
Well, during sentencing, the justice warned Eric, quote, you have a medical problem and you need to always take medication. If you do not, your life is going to get messed up, end quote. So that tells me that the judge here, you know, has taken in the details about what's going on with this guy and probably has made his or her own assessment about the situation. And I'm more confident that maybe there actually is a medical thing happening here with this Eric guy. Well, Eric was sentenced to 9 months of community service and 12 months of probation. Eric continued to appear in adult films and in the summer of 2006 legally changed his name to Luca Rocca Magnata. Mm-hmm. Rocco Magnata, excuse me.
Oh, I know this name.
You know that name? Okay.
I do. Well, if anyone's seen Don't Fuck With Cats on Netflix.
That's right.
You'd know that name.
Yeah, there is some connection here. And so throughout 2007 and 2008, Luca's main focus, who by the way was previously Eric, Luca Eric, his main focus was trying to make it big by auditioning for reality shows like Cover Guy and Plastic Makes Perfect, neither of which I've heard of.
No, me neither.
Yeah. Well, Luca also tried to create a public persona for himself by starting rumors about himself online, then reaching out to journalists to refute the gossip. Now, listen, you've got to be, first of all, get a life, you know, if you're doing things like this.
Well, it's just desperate for fame. It's just desperate for attention, you know? Yeah. I mean, like, I know people who create fake accounts about themselves on Instagram to try and get verified. So then they refute it, and then Instagram has to, like, verify them. So, like, there's all different forms of this type of stuff.
That's very bizarre, yeah.
On September 14th, 2007, Luca visited the headquarters of the Toronto Sun to deny an online rumor that he was dating convicted killer Carla Homolka. Instead of publishing a story about Luca's alleged affair with the criminal, they published a story about his odd visit to the newspaper to refute gossip he seemed to have started himself.
Oh my God.
In December of 2010, the infamous One Guy, Two Kittens video surfaced online, and I don't... Like, this is hard for me to even talk about because I couldn't even watch it in that Netflix show, but depicting two kittens being killed by an unidentified man whose face is concealed throughout the video. Mm. A Facebook group of about 4,000 people was created in response to the video where animal rights activists sought to find the video's creator and bring him to justice. Yeah. The group members believe Luca joined the group under an alias to monitor the group's progress in their hunt, which has to be so easy to do. I mean...
Yeah, you would think.
Like, that's so easy to pull off. And when the group went astray in their search, they believe Luca anonymously posted a photo to a group message board showing a photo of the man in the video with his face unblurred.
Mm.
This is just a next level for attention. On December 28th, 2010, get a talent. On December 28th, 2010, an animal rights activism group put out a $5,000 reward for information leading to the arrest of the man in the video. On December 28th, 2010, an animal rights activism group put out a $5,000 reward for information leading to the arrest of a man in the video, stating, "It's a gateway crime. Once somebody starts to open that door, that's when things start to get really dangerous."
Mm.
On January 4th, 2011, Luca contacted an attorney expressing concerns about all the publicity the kitten killer was garnering. He asked the attorney whether he had any pending arrest warrants. He did not. Okay.
Oh, my God.
It's like he is his own worst enemy. He's his own vigilante for himself.
Yeah, but also, by the way, I just want a full disclosure. I have not seen Don't Fuck With Cats. Did you end up watching it?
Oh, I did.
Okay,
oh,
I thought you did.
It's honestly, you know, like they, for, to tell the whole story, I'll just say this. They do a pretty decent job of like showing you how horrible the videos are without making you endure that. Good. Like,
yeah.
There were certainly moments where I turned away, but it wasn't because they were like purposely shown torture or, and it wasn't like that.
Yeah,
you know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah.
It was a lot of illusion, which was good, but
it
was a really good documentary.
Okay, that's good. Yeah, it was a big deal when it was out, so.
Oh my God, you should check it out if you haven't. Well, in early 2011, a new online group called the Animal Beta Project, AB Project, was created with the express purpose of stopping Luca before he hurt anyone else. The group of armchair detectives claimed that the setting of the kitten video matched very closely to the interior of Luca's home as it was shown in his other public photos. This is why online sleuths are just the best. One anonymous group member commented, "We felt we would continue, that he would harm other animals and eventually move on to something even more violent, like hurting a person."
By the way, I just want to give a little disclaimer here for anyone listening that was just background sirens in case you're driving in your car right now and think that you're getting pulled over.
Yes, my apologies. That was me.
So this guy is terrible is basically what we've gleaned. And there are multiple Facebook groups at this point with cash rewards looking for him. So that's what we need to know. And although the group was able to obtain a lot of information about Luca, they were unable to trace his whereabouts until they found a photo from October 2010 taken with a cell phone stamped with a GPS locator, which, by the way, most of them do these days, so be aware of that.
Yep.
This told them that Luca was in Toronto. They contacted the Ontario Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Animals, and in February 2011, a police file was opened on Luca. Throughout November and December 2011, several more kitten videos surfaced online. The AB Project felt these were posted as taunts to the group. Right. In December of 2011, a story about the kitten killer was published by The Sun, a London-based publication. Shortly thereafter, Luca arrived at the paper's office to deny killing a kitten, although the paper had not spoken about him in the article.
Like,
what a just, nightmare person.
What a fucking nightmare person is the correct
terminology.
Description. Yeah, like it is a nightmare person. I love that term. You're a nightmare person. Yeah, you're a nightmare person, Luca. Share that you're with a nightmare person. Yeah.
We're going to make it, you know, don't be a nightmare person. Maybe we're going to put it on a t-shirt, you know. I think like, we'll should see.
I kind of want a t-shirt embroidered that says nightmare person.
Nightmare person. All right. We can make this happen.
Let's do it.
All right. Well, reporter Alex West described Luca as highly suspicious, stating,
highly
quote,
sus.
Yeah, highly sus. That's right.
Highly sus.
Stating, quote, behind the denials, it seemed he was getting some sort of bizarre pleasure out of the attention. I'm sorry. I don't want to make it political, but doesn't this kind of sound like somebody we know from recent history? Okay.
Well, there's a lot of similarities between narcissists.
Yeah, that's right. You're absolutely right. Well, yeah. 2 days later, The Sun received threatening anonymous emails stating, quote, next time you hear from me, it will be in a movie I am producing that will have some humans in it, not just pussies, end quote. Oh, dear.
Jesus. Well, I am producing that will have some humans in it.
Have
like,
some
what
humans
a weirdo.
In it.
Yeah, yeah, what a weirdo.
Which, by the way, doesn't that sound like a serial killer? Like, who says that?
Definitely.
Well, in early 2012, investigators received a tip from the AB Project that Luca may have moved to Montreal, which is not Montana, it turns out, based on a photo posted to his social media account. In mid-May of that year, there were a high number of references made to an as-yet-unsurfaced video that seemed to be called One Lunatic, One Ice Pick. Anonymous posts popped up all over forums asking where the video could be found and watched. It's so weird. Like, I don't know if this is technically the dark web, so to speak, but it's so weird to think, like, how this kind of, like, behavior and momentum happens around these, like, really insidious topics and, like, videos in the background.
Or even, like, bullying someone online. Like, one person makes one comment, one accusation, everyone just jumps to it. It's crazy.
Yeah, it is. It's absolutely crazy. It's heartbreaking. And it's a sign of, like, you know, the age that we're in, the digital age.
Yeah, for better or for worse.
Yeah, right. Well, a lot of frequenters of those forums believe this matched the buildup to the kitten videos, where a lot of name-dropping to an unpublished video would happen online prior to the video's release to build hype. So many believe all the name-drops were Luca making posts himself from different alias accounts. The One Lunatic, One Ice Pick video never surfaced online, and Luca's online activity ceased for a few weeks.
Okay, so let's take it back to maybe the beginning of the story. And when we were talking about my birthday, May 24th was the last day June Lin, who was the 33-year-old Chinese student at Concordia University, was seen alive by his friends. The following day, on May 25th, one of Luca's neighbors spotted him carrying a box to the post office. May 25th was also the day One Lunatic, One Ice Pick showed up online. The video depicts a young man tied up on a bed. The man is initially alive until being repeatedly stabbed with an ice pick. Ugh. His body is then dismembered with a knife.
Oh my God.
Yeah, I can't believe this stuff is like online. But the video also contains acts of cannibalism and necrophilia. Ugh. On May 26th, Luca flew from Montreal to Paris, and that same day, an attorney named Roger Renville saw the snuff film. If you don't know what a snuff film is, it's a film where someone dies, they kill someone. Right. And he reported it to the U.S. and Canadian police the following day, but it was dismissed as a fake, which I do probably assume, and maybe I'm wrong about this, maybe naively, that they probably do get a lot of videos, or there are a lot of videos like this online that are fake.
Potentially,
doesn't mean they're
not
disturbing.
Yeah.
But, like, that are probably more fake than not. And so maybe they just, I mean, they should always do their due diligence, you know, with every single thing that they find. But I imagine, like, it's not, like, the first of its kind.
I was just going to say that. Probably not the first of its kind. Also, you have to think this was probably, what was this, 2012, I think, is what we said. I mean, at that point, as someone, and I'm saying this as a digital expert, to be honest, with my career and just my interests, you know, it's getting easier at this point in time to create faked videos like right. that. Like AI and AR hasn't really come onto the scene in the same way it has now. Like the way deep fakes and, you know, and filters, even just Snapchat alone, you know, you can do a lot of things like this these days. Not necessarily killing. I'm just saying like faking out, you know, recreating digital fakes, basically. No, so that's something to think about, you know?
Yeah, I know. Deep fakes especially kind of terrify me now because they're just so real. But on May 29th, a Montreal janitor named Mike Nadeau discovered a human torso inside a suitcase that had been left in a pile of garbage on the curb. Now, if we remember, not that this necessarily means anything, but Luca was spot carrying a box and shipped to the post office, so could not have been that. A receptionist for the Conservative Party opened a box containing a human foot.
Oh my God.
And the box had been delivered to the Conservative headquarters near Parliament Hill in Ottawa. There was a note attached to the foot stating that four more body parts had been mailed out. Authorities immediately began trying to track down the alleged parcels. So the janitor discovered the suitcase with the torso, and I'm assuming, given the fact that, you know, May 25th, Luca's neighbor spotted him carrying boxes to the post office. So that, I can't prove that it was that, but it probably was that.
I mean, listen, we're really living up to our name of our show today, Shaken and Disturbed. I, like, every line that we're sharing with you is, like, freaking me out, I want to say at this point.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It's very disturbing.
Very disturbing. A few hours later, a hand was discovered in a package at a postal warehouse in Ottawa addressed to the Liberal Party headquarters. On May 30th, a nationwide warrant was issued for 29-year-old Luca's arrest. The profiles about Luca describe him as a male model and a bisexual porn actor. Investigators believed Luca's apartment to be the scene of the crime. A search of the apartment turned up a pink sheet soaked with blood next to a blood-streaked shower curtain. Ugh. That just gave me a... Have you seen, like, do you ever get those Instagram ads of, like, shower curtains that, like, turn bloody? And I'm like...
Yeah.
You know, I know that, like, a lot of listeners probably like that kind of stuff, but, I mean, like, why would you want that in your house? Maybe it's just because we've done so many of these episodes. I'm just like, no, thank you.
Halloween, it can be fun, but I'm thinking to myself with this, I'm like, wow, he is not good at cleaning up any evidence.
Well, for sure, yeah. Maybe he almost wants to be caught, too. Like, there could
be a part of that. He wants the attention. He doesn't... Yeah. Yeah, he wants it.
Like other killers we've talked about, like part of the excitement for them is that their name is going to be mentioned on a newscast. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Well, police believe that the murder was videotaped and posted to an Alberta-based website that specialized in gore and these kind of snuff films. On May 31st, Luca was added to Interpol's wanted person list, and authorities believed him to be in Europe at this point. But the next day, on June 1st, Montreal police identified the victim in the One Lunatic, One Pickaxe video as the missing June Lynn. Police believed Luca and June to have had some sort of a relationship. Remember, they kind of seem to be in similar, you know, in the same industry, I believe, right? Because June was a stripper and did his own videos, so maybe that's how they met. On June 2nd, the Montreal police added an additional charge to Luca's warrant for threatening the Canadian Prime Minister, stating that because the foot mailed to Ottawa was addressed to the Prime Minister's party, the charge is valid. Now, that's interesting, because you're basically saying, you know, that the Prime Minister's part is responsible for the entire party, and if you mess with the party, you're messing with the Prime Minister. Listen, this is Canadian politics.
Well, and if you get a fucking foot sent to you, I'm pretty sure that feels like a threat to me.
For sure. The next day, Luca was spotted by authorities in France and was believed to be on the move. The day after that, he was arrested at an internet cafe in Berlin. The cafe's owner recognized Luca and left the establishment to flag down police on the street. That's pretty impressive. I always wonder, like, you know, like, I always hear about these Interpol, you know, wanted posters and profiles, and, like, I never see them. I think I've talked about it before on the show, like, I don't see wanted or missing posters ever. Like, where do people see those things?
I see missing animals a lot, but I have seen missing person things, especially in the subway and stuff, where, like, people do go missing. So I do see that. I haven't seen wanted or anything in a while. But one of the, I guess, kind of similarly, though, I do see in sometimes, like, storefronts, they'll show security footage and be like, wanted, you know, this person was stealing or held up at gunpoint. And they do put like security, like blurry, obviously, because you can't know, but like have any information stuff. I do see that stuff around.
I just realized like that's a very New York thing almost, because I feel like now that you're saying that, I'm like, I don't see those around here where I am right now, but I definitely did when I was in New York.
Yeah, for sure.
Well,
for
sure. Luca was alone in the corner of that cafe when he was approached by police who asked for his identification. He rambled off several names before calmly saying, okay, you got me. By the way, if you're on the run and you know that police are looking for you, you're not going to a cafe.
Well, that's what I'm saying. He wants to be caught.
Yes, there's definitely an element of that here.
Right.
Well, Luca was brought to a German prison where he stated that he would not fight extradition to Canada. So he's now trying to go back, basically. Guards at the prison described him as quite meek, choosing to room alone instead of sharing a cell with another prisoner.
Well, on June 5th, the Montreal police made a statement that although the note attached to the severed foot claimed more body parts were in the mail, and although several of June's body parts were still missing, they had no reason to believe other parts were mailed out. Authorities also confirmed that Luca and June knew each other prior to the murder.
Mm.
And the same day, packages containing human remains were delivered to two Vancouver schools.
Oh, my God.
Police later confirmed the body parts sent to the schools did belong to June Lynn. On June 18th, 2012, Luca was extradited to Canada, and the following day he pled not guilty to the murder and dismemberment of June Lynn. His court date was set for early in 2013. It's just interesting that he would plead not guilty, only because up until now, even when the police caught him, he was like, okay, you got me. And maybe it's just he's not pleading guilty to that, or he didn't know, but it seems a little weird. On July 1st, more human remains turned up in a Montreal city park that were later determined to belong to June as well.
So this is after his sentencing. Or, I mean, wait, is it sentencing or just his plea? Maybe he hadn't been to trial yet.
His court date was set, but he didn't have it yet. But still, like... In April of 2013, following several preliminary competency hearings, Luca was ordered by the court to stand trial for first-degree murder with a trial date set for September of 2014. Luca's trial began on September 29th, 2014, with the defense team admitting that Luca had, in fact, slain June, but that he was not criminally responsible at the time.
Okay, so that's where the not guilty plea comes in. Okay.
Well, Canada's not criminally responsible statute was passed in 2013 and applies to defendants who are found to have committed an act that constitutes an offense, but who cannot appreciate or understand what they did was wrong due to a mental disorder at the time. So it's kind of like pleading insanity a little
bit. Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
Same kind of thing here, I think, more or less.
Mm-hmm.
More or less. Well, the defense argued that Luca is schizophrenic and was therefore not criminally responsible at the time he killed June. But obviously, in order to do that, you got to fucking prove that he's schizophrenic. You got to prove that.
Right. And there's no history of that. I mean, now that I'm listening to, you know, you tell part of, of these details with this research, I am thinking like, okay, well, say he is schizophrenic and mentally unwell. That might explain why he's just hanging out at a cafe, too. Like, he might not understand that people are looking for him, frankly.
I think he wants people to look for him. Like, I think he wanted this whole thing.
Yeah, I would probably agree with
because
you
because, honestly, he might not have been found if it not been for him putting himself at the forefront of, like, the police station and be like, it's not me. Terrible rumors being swirled about me. He was obsessed with himself.
But also, like, why, you know, like, this all happens and then he flies from Montreal to Paris. Like, well, what's that? Like, obviously, you know what you did here or you wouldn't be flying to another country. So
exactly.
Well, the trial lasted several months with jury deliberation starting on December 15th. After deliberating for 40 hours, the jury approached the court to ask whether a personality disorder is considered, quote, a disease of the mind as a matter of law before returning to sequester, which is, of course, the big question, right? Like, that's what we were kind of debating here, even between the two of us, or not even debating, just having a conversation. On December 23rd, after eight days of deliberation, the jury returned a verdict of guilty on the charge of the first-degree murder and dismemberment of June Lynn. Luca was also found guilty on four other charges: criminally harassing the prime minister, mailing obscene and indecent material, committing an indignity to a body, and publishing obscene materials. Those are so many, like, really disturbing charges, by the way. Luca was sentenced to life in prison for the murder and dismemberment of June. For the four other charges, he was given the maximum sentence allowed under the criminal code for each charge. Each ranged from 2 to 10 years. Obviously, it doesn't matter. He got life for the other charge. Although the defense began the appeal process, Luca formally withdrew his appeal for the first-degree murder on February 18th, 2015. So this guy's away.
Probably had resigned too. Guy's not coming out. But wow.
Well, I'm just glad we didn't go too far into the kid.
You should watch that show though on Netflix. You really should.
I know I should for the true crime of it all, if nothing else. But I don't know, Darren. Like, I feel
listen.
Like I would
you know
be
how
upset.
I am with animals. You know how I am with animals. I'm just saying. Like, if anyone, I mean. It's easier to handle in terms of just like how horrible it seems. Like it's way more about the crime and the you know the internet sleuthing than it is about the kittens. Like trust me on that. We all know how I feel about cats. So
by the
I'm
way,
just saying it's good for it. Sorry, go ahead.
No, that's okay. I was just gonna say, speaking of cats, how is the cat tissue holder holding up that I got you?
Well, oddly enough, when my parents came over and my brother was over, like my brother's girlfriend was just like commenting on it. She was like, it's so big. And I was like, yep, John Thrasher got it. And I put it right at the front of my door. That's right.
It is very big. And for those who don't know, I got Darren I think it's ceramic. Is it ceramic or plastic or something?
It's hard to say. It feels ceramic, but it's big though. It's like a foot long.
Yeah, it's like a foot long, and it's a cat where you take a tissue out of its bum. And that's all we're going to say about that. If you don't know what we're talking about, go to Patreon.
I mean, that's all we really need to say
about
that.
That's all you need
that.
To know. Yeah.
That's all you need
By the way,
to know.
I did feel bad. I think I did mention this. I felt bad because of how big it is. It's like you live in New York City. You don't need a big old cat tissue holder. You know what I mean? Like.
No, but I moved into a better apartment, so I got a bigger place. So I have room for it. Don't you worry.
All right.
Shall we get to listener shout-outs?
Yes, but before we do that, listeners, let us know what you think about this case and, of course, the Netflix documentary that I may or may not get to. Hit us up on social media at Jay Thrasher and Carpe Darren, Facebook group. We've got Patreon. There are a million ways to get a hold of us these days. Darren, why don't you take the first shout out?
Yes, absolutely. Candace in our Patreon group said, so I was born in Amarillo and raised near Lubbock, and I'm currently dying over John trying to pronounce West Texas cities fancier than they are. Lubbock.
Lubbock.
It's so sweet that you think we are fancy over here, over there in the deserts of Texas, instead of the dusty lizard people we are at heart. And let me just say, for all the Texans out there, those are Candace's words.
I was going to say, she said that, not
mine.
Us.
I did not say dusty lizard people we are at heart.
Well, listen, if that's how people in Texas identify, then that's what we have to say.
Hey, man, I'm all about it. Yeah. Everything's bigger and dustier in Texas.
And more lizard-like. Well, Candace, thank you for that. I am trying my best. Frankly, we are true crime podcasters, but we are not experts in city names. Let's put it that way.
Frankly, Candace, John is what we call a nightmare person.
I'm a nightmare person. Get used to it.
That's right.
Emma in our Facebook group, Darren, just discovered us. She wrote us a long message, and I just wanted to share some of it here. She says, quote, I'm so late to the game. I love you guys so much. You crack me the fuck up every day. I own a dog walking company outside of Philly, so you guys are in my ear literally 8 hours a day while I walk.
Oh, my God.
I have to say that I'm pretty sure John Thrasher and I are destined to be beasties. I think she means besties, though.
No, I think she means beasties.
Maybe she means beasties. Maybe we're beast friends and no one knows.
You're my beastie.
She says, not only do I have the same first name as your favorite Spice Girl, which is Emma, I named my business, are you ready for this, Darren? Jurassic Bark.
There it is.
Okay, so I may be a bigger fan than even you are. Darren, I love you equally and totally relate to your tell how it is attitude and love of black clothing, and that you drink John under the table every week. Emma
knows me. Emma gets me on a level that you've never been able to, John.
That's because I'm a nightmare person. What more do you want from me?
Correct.
Yeah. Well, guys, thank you very much for those. And thank Emma for that amazing shout out, and to everyone who's listening. If you want more episodes of Shaken and Disturbed, by the way, including even more NMR episodes, now is the time to sign up for Patreon. You're going to get a lot more of those episodes and more from us starting now. And if you subscribe annually, you're going to get 15% off whatever it is you choose. So, by the way, you're helping keeping the show going. We really appreciate all of you guys. It really means a lot to us that you would support us that way.
Yeah, you have no idea what it means to us. And as always, thanks to our lovely behind-the-scenes producer and Megan. Rocky Horror Picture Show extraordinaire, Megan. You guys are amazing. I can't wait to discuss my dinner on NMR. Definitely listen to that this week. And we'll see you all next week for another episode of Shaken and Disturbed.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.